Right, I'm going to be dealing with the subject of facing the next decade. It's only a few days away, and 2020 will be here. So you've got to get used to writing 2020 and not 2019. Thank goodness the days of check writing is kind of almost over, because we used to find people writing the most amazing dates in January. They skipped a couple of years. Now, I want to share a brief word today with how we're going to make the best of 2020. And in fact, every year after that. So, we have chosen this as our vision theme for next year for the church. We really want to strive at only doing what we see the Father doing. Amen. We don't want to do religious stuff. We don't want to run programs that the Holy Spirit is not blessing. We don't want to do anything that is not good for the kingdom. Amen. So we need to be very aware of what the Holy Spirit is saying and what He's showing us that the Father is doing. Now, I'm not going to deal with this 2020 vision today. I'll deal with it early in the year once everybody comes back by about March. So what I'm really going to be doing this morning is deal with how we can start going about reaching the goal of making 2020 a fantastic year. Because the question is, what are you going to do with this coming year? Will you come back in 12 months' time? Some people attend church only once a year. Will you come back in 12 months' time with a sense of regret or with a sense of joy? Will it be a year of prospering in God, or will it just be a year of failure? And I'm sure that you, like me, kind of see great possibilities for the next year, because we've really seen God doing some stuff, and we just know His promises are with us. He has said some amazing stuff to this church, and we just look forward to the new decade. Now, I want to use a scripture from Paul as the text for this morning. So if you've got your Bible, it's a good thing to open your Bible. You hear it creaking open to Philippians 3 verse 7, or your notepad or your telephone or your memory banks, whatever. Paul writes, "I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage." The Greek word there is a very dirty word. "So that I can gain Christ and become one with Him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with Himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised Him from the dead. I want to suffer with Him, sharing in His death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection. But I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. I want to share on the last two verses there, 13 and 14. And I believe this is a word for every day of the year. We need to remember these two verses every day of the year and actually for the rest of our lives, because it will change us radically. So let's kick off. First thing he says is that he focuses on one thing. He says, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing." We are called to be focused. Our Christian lives are fairly barren and meaningful if we lose focus. Meaningless. Thank you. That's why we have a congregation, to help the preacher. That's the way it is. Okay. We need to be focusing on reaching the fulfillment of what we were born for, to fulfill God's plan for our life. You do know God has a plan for your life. And it doesn't matter how old you are, if you've never discovered it before, I have news for you. God has a plan for your life. And you're never too old to embrace it. Neither are you too young to embrace it. Now, Paul was never satisfied with the status quo. He didn't just drift through life. He constantly reached forward for more of God's grace and mercy, desiring to fulfill his God-given purpose. When Christ saved Paul, that was just the beginning, not the end. You know, for some people, they become a Christian and they think they've now arrived. They're at the end. It's only the beginning. Because once you accept Jesus Christ into your life, you start a journey of incredible encounters with God. So it's the beginning. He had been saved to live for Christ and to serve Christ. And as long as he was on this earth, he was going to live for Christ and do all he could do to serve Christ. Paul was a truly focused Christian. Are you? Do you have a similar conviction to Paul? That you're going to live for Christ and you're going to serve him, because that's what you're meant to be doing. I'm meant to be pushing the button. Second thing Paul says, forgetting the past. This is a key to getting on in life. Forgetting the past means letting go of past accomplishments and or failures. This is a significant decision that can set people free from past stuff that holds them captive. You just don't sometimes understand how important it is to let go of the past. Some people live in the failure of the past and it haunts them in the future. Some people live on a couple of past successes and it ruins their future. It's as if those successes give them identity. As we face this new decade, this new year that's starting, it's good to look and learn from our mistakes. Look back over the year and say, okay, what did you do that was wrong? What was stupid? I mean, you know, some people already made a mistake by being here this morning. Because God's got something to say to you, and you don't want to hear it, but you're going to hear it. We need to look over our successes. What did we allow God to accomplish in our lives that was good? And then we need to determine to face the future, allowing God to do even more in our lives. That's what we were born for. The last thing we need to do is live on the past. I could go into a long story about my family. I had a mom who for a time got lost in the past, and as she blew it, she lost her mind totally. So I know from experience, living in the past will destroy your future. We can't revisit the past and try and bring it back. I mean, this church went through some incredible works of God. Some of you have heard of the Toronto blessing. The Holy Spirit hit this place. It was amazing. Some of you weren't born yet, so you have no idea what I'm talking about. Some of you weren't in church yet, so you also know nothing about what I'm talking about. It was a visitation of the Holy Spirit that was fantastic. People got to church early, and people left late because they didn't want to miss what God was going to do. Now, I wish I could bring that back, but I'm rather waiting for God to do his next thing. And I know for some of you, you'll be at 6 o'clock on a Sunday morning because you won't want to miss a thing. We need to let the past go. Turn to somebody and say to them, let the past go. And really, that's the sentiment that Paul expresses in this chapter 3 of Philippians. He says he's letting all things go. They're behind him. His heritage, his prestige, his wealth, his influence, the acceptance of being one of the religious elite. Remember, he was a rabbi. He counted all that stuff as rubbish. But I also believe he was mentally making sure that he was leaving behind all his accomplishments as an apostle. He'd converted thousands. He'd preached the gospel all over the Middle East, Asia Minor, and even into Europe. He had established countless churches and congregations and had never failed to give witness to the gospel message. But all of that was past. Paul was focused on the future. What are you still hanging on to that's in the past? It's going to cripple your future. Then Paul says, forgetting what the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I came across an interesting statement. It said, someone once said that the future is like a blank canvas waiting for the artist to produce a masterpiece on it. Hey, that sounds good to me. And so I like that image because the future, this new decade, has yet to be painted by God. And God uses us as his paintbrushes. And it's wide open to whatever God inspires. It's full of new challenges and opportunities for us as individuals and as a church. You know the great thing about what lies ahead, no one can predict. Yeah. We haven't got a cooking clue of what God's going to be doing this year coming. We're inspired and we have expectation, but we can't write down on a piece of paper, this is exactly what God's going to do. Because I believe he's going to do more than we could ever record. And there's no way for us to know what God has in store for us until he reveals it. By either telling us or doing it. And our God is an awesome God. I mean, all power belongs to him. The future belongs to him. You and I belong to Him. And He wants to do great and mighty things. And He's going to lead us into better and better and better things as we let go of the past and focus on Him. So looking forward is quite a challenge. It's a serious decision. And there's no point in just, like I said just now, drifting along in life. It's depressing. We need to set ourselves a target for next year. I know people do this stupid thing of New Year's resolutions. You know, like, I'm going to lose 20 kilograms in January. If I said I was going to lose 20 rand, that would be truer than losing 20 kilograms. So those New Year resolutions are not always going to happen. But we need to set targets for our spiritual life, for our growth in God. If you didn't read the Bible this last year, how about trying it next year? If you never prayed this last year, how about finding out what prayer is? If you only came to church once a month last year, how about doubling your attendance? Come 8 times a month. I mean, think about the future as something that's challenging and something that you can grow into. I want to show you just some stuff. I've challenged every staff member to have a plan for growth next year, personal goals as well as ministry goals. They've had to reveal what these goals are. And so these goals have been listed. And soon, each staff member will have a copy of each other's goals so that they can do the following. They can pray for them. They can encourage. And we can keep each other responsible and accountable. Here's the truth that we all need to swallow. There is no growth in any area of our lives when we are not held responsible and accountable. Even if we're the ones holding ourselves responsible and accountable, there will be growth. But if we're not doing even that, we're just going to tumble like tumbleweed when the wind blows. So I have a challenge for you as a member of the congregation. I'd like to suggest that every one of you write out a list of possible personal and ministry goals. If you've never prayed for anyone else in the church before, how about making that a goal? Praying for other people. Then you can find out how, when, why, who can help me, who can lead me, and all the rest of it. If you don't have any goals, you ain't going anywhere. And then maybe you can share some of your goals with your close friends, maybe the small group that you attend, and ask them to hold you accountable. This means you give them permission to pray for you, and we all need prayer, right? Amen. To encourage you, we all need encouragement. And to ask you how you're doing. So if you shared with a small group, well, I'm going to read, you know, one chapter of the Bible every day, and you share that as your goal with your small group, they have the right to pray that you get it right, and they have the right to say, well, how many chapters have you read so far? And you have the right to answer honestly. That's a healthy growth environment to be in. You see, we're not isolated individuals. We are community. We're family. We're here for each other. So It's basically set some goals, make a plan, get to work, stick to it. That's the hard part. Reach the goal, and we all smile together. Now, note, if you aim at nothing, you will hit it every time. And unfortunately, that's the story of many Christians' lives. They aim at nothing, and they get nothing. And they wonder why their Christianity is so empty and meaningless. And eventually they drift out of the church. They start with attending four times a month, then three times, then two times, then once, and then occasionally, and then never. And when you bump into them in the street, they say, "How's our church doing?" Well, if you actually came, you'd know. Pressing on, says Paul. I press on. Now, here's something about Paul that's brilliant. Paul did not want to miss a thing. Not one blessing, not one bit of grace, not one open door of opportunity, and not even one struggle. Paul knew the Christian life is a tough life. But he was ready to face whatever came. And he knew that all of these things and more are gifts from the hand of God and will improve his walk with Jesus. It's only when you go through tests and you pass that you get closer and closer to God. It's only when you overcome the evil one that your connection with God is better. And so here's some amazing truth about Paul. As he sat in a Roman prison, Paul still expected bigger and better things from his God. And here's the truth. Later released from prison, Paul went on to teach more, convert more, write more, and minister for more than 10 years before he gave his life in the service of Jesus. He was focused with great expectation. And I'm motivated by Paul's being so focused. And I hope you are. Because he has been one of the greatest theologians of the Christian church. And definitely an example to us. Right. He says, "I press on to reach the end of the race and to receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us." You know, God called and is still calling. God called you to join him in a relationship, and he's calling you all the time to grow in that relationship till you are with him forever one day, seeing him as he really is. So, Paul pressed on towards the goal, towards God's purpose in Christ Jesus. So, what is this purpose for us in Christ Jesus? I'm going to try and help you a little bit. It's to be conformed to the image of Jesus, to be perfect even as he is perfect. The Holy Spirit is working in our lives to change us so that from the inside out we begin to reflect the same standard of life that Jesus had. The change has to come from the inside out. Can't go from the outside in. Okay? It's to know God as fully as we can in this dimension of life. Knowing and experiencing his amazing love, grace, and mercy. It's to be aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit moment by moment. Not once on a Sunday or once a month. Moment by moment. Because we're agents of the kingdom and we need the empowerment and the presence of the Holy Spirit in order to fulfill our calling in God. It is to successfully do the works of Jesus as led by the Holy Spirit. We're on call to do the works of Jesus. It is to live an exciting Christian lifestyle instead of a dead religion. I can tell you something. When you wake up on a Sunday and you're not excited to join the family of God, you've got too much dead religion in your life. Because number one, you're not recognizing Jesus as Lord of the church, and you're not recognizing the church as His people, His blessed people, His family. And so when you neglect Him and you neglect His family, you're actually giving God a message. I don't need you, God. But there's only a few people who do that. It is to enter eternity after our lives on earth end and being embraced and welcomed by God. That is just some of the stuff. So that should get you thinking. So today we challenge to release the past. Doesn't matter what you've been through. Release it. Reach for the present and the future. And race towards the prize. Eternity with God. Having God welcoming you into His kingdom. So, what will you do with tomorrow? What will you do with the new year? Better yet, what will you allow the Lord Jesus to do with you, in you, through you, and for you in the days, the weeks, and the months to come? This is the challenge. So let the past go, press on towards God, and see what wonders He's going to work. Let's stand.